Blog Talk Radio.
Go Fish, this one's called Save, Trippy Tory.
I have a Bible that I read. I know the truth and I believe. I go to church with my friends. I have a joy that never ends. Not because of anything I've done. There's a reason and it's the only one.
By grace through faith,
oh yeah.
Go Fish Guys, I have the perfect part for you and all the kids to sing. Now I'm going to sing it, and you and the kids just sing it back to me. You ready? All right, here we go.
With the capital C. Oh, 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 oh.
getting close to Christmas. That's Go Fish singing Christmas with the capital C. And that's actually a second version, the original version. I'm going to try to play later. It's kind of a bit funnier because it's got a comedian talking about it in the beginning. You'll hear that later, hopefully. And I'm your host, Melissa Canchola, for Truth Be Told Radio. And we're going to play another one from Bowfish. This one's called It About to Cross here on Truth Be Told Radio.
It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. I got the joy.
cause joy to the world, and that's go fishing that. We're going to change it up a bit, or a lot, however you look at it. Going to do this one called The Excellency of Christ. This is by Timothy Brindle.
Sacrifice for sin has been accepted by the Father, who resurrected him and exalted him as the infinitely glorious King of the universe. And now Jesus offers himself to us as the all-satisfying treasure and lover of our souls. And this, my beloved brothers and sisters, is the ultimate remedy against sin and temptation. Namely, knowing, enjoying, and worshiping Jesus Christ for his many excellencies. Why, I'm pleased to sing, cause you're my Lord and Savior, my High Priest and King, and the world's Creator, my Shepherd, my Master, whom I adore and applaud, the image of the Father, you are the glory of God. It's flashing in your face, I'm smothered in your grace, which nothing can erase, cause you suffered in my place. You get all praise from the sinner pleading, though you're finished bleeding, you're still busy interceding. Cause you made the amazing ascension. You're my wisdom and sanctification, redemption. Your perfect life credited to my account. Yo, I worship Christ forever, kid, I'm a shower. Never take when I meditate on your excellencies. You bled in my stead, my federal head, you represent me. Your death was a fee, so your elect could be free. Called us effectually, with predestined to be. We're free because His price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. In Christ we're free, cause His price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. You're the lion, you're the lamb, you're divine, yet you're a man. You're Messiah and I am, you're triumphant in your plan. Resurrected with all power and might, exalted in all glory and honor, the Father showered in Christ. Full-time worshippers forever were employed. Christ came to give us the full measure of His joy. I was deep in sin and left repeatedly. I was beat for Him, but He would beat for me. But Christ reconciled us to worship the Father, to fulfill our existence, our purpose, our honor. Now I'm cursed no longer, so I offer Him praise. If not for His grace, I'd be certain to garner. Now often Jesus consumes me with thoughts of His sweetness and beauty. Not some weed or some brewski, nor beer or some ecstasy. Cause to see the face of Christ is a superior, excellent thrill. In Christ we're free because His price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. In Christ we're free because His price redeems us. Exciting me, enticing me to flee lust. Refrain from sin, its ways are grim. There's no greater thing to delight in Jesus. Christ, you're excellent, worthy. I praise your Father, He's made me a vessel of mercy. Now show your glory's weightiness to your church, and we'll reflect back the radiance of your worth. You have the power to rule and destroy, but you'll bring us in your Father's presence where there's fullness of joy and bless us forever. Never competitors ever can threaten us ever. You have my heavenly treasure. It's my endless endeavor to honor Him. I wanna sing, cause you're so sovereign and conquering. My vows do, so I bow to, ascribe value to my God and King. You can't compare your worth to pieces of gold. You're keeping me whole. Worship the beast from my soul. Need the control, I can't explain how this suits me. A fiend to behold and gaze at your beauty. And in quiet in your temple, face to face in crazy grace, with no desires that are sinful. You shed mad blood to cleanse that crud. You said that was your steadfast love. My master snatched this cat from tragic sadness, gave me a sad gladness. He lavished matchless compassion that attracts like magnets attached to cabinets. You bought and claim a weak blind soul, like going once, going twice, three times soul to the God man who's dressed in glory. Now I rest assuredly because His death secured me. A front row view of His majestic splendor, which will never bore me or be impressed forever. He's a consuming fire, yet He's tender. He's Jesus Christ, the most blessed treasure. A front row view of His majestic splendor, which will never bore me or be impressed forever. You're a consuming fire, yet you're tender. You're Jesus Christ, the most blessed treasure. All praise to Christ from grateful men. Give praise to Him who saves us and takes us in and makes us king to reign with Him. We'll praise with Him the day's won't end, so we say amen.
yeah. Father God, we come now before you. We were made to bow down and adore you. We're filled with thankfulness because of your faithfulness. To your word, and we found that it's all true. To your face, Lord, we turn in amazement. In your grace, you determined to save men from sin's consequence because of your promises. In Jesus Christ, we say yes and an amen. Where Adam sinned, you provided a covering. You heard Israel cry in the suffering. You brought him out of the land with your powerful hand. Lord, you're truly the God of the covenant. Even though you dropped clues, they were missing it. From here, we can see the true significance. All your acts of might were shadows and types to point ahead to a future deliverance. From the things you say, you don't budge. You're faithful to save and you're faithful to judge. The God who is just is not one of us. The faithful God is the God we can trust. We can't trust us, on you we rely. Everything we need, Lord, you will supply. Even when we're faithless, you remain faithful. You cannot deny yourself.
Convicted, treating Jesus like a lottery ticket, and you're thinking it's they're not the dangerous type, cause some of the statements are right. That only proves that Satan comes as an angel of light. This teaching can't be believed without a cause. The lie is you can achieve a crown without a cross. And I hear it all the time when they speak on the block. Even unbelievers are shocked how they're fleecing the flock. It should be obvious then, yeah, I'll explain why it's sin. Peep the Bible, it's in 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. It talks about how the desire for riches has left many souls on fire in stitches, mired in ditches. Tell me, who would teach you to pursue as a goal the very thing that the Bible says will ruin your soul, huh? Yet they're encouraging the love of money. To make it worse, they've exported this garbage into other countries. My heart breaks even now as I'm rhyming. You want to know what all false teachers have in common?
What?
It's called selfism, the fastest growing religion. They just dress it up and call it Christian. Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God.
Money is.
Jesus is not a means to an end.
No.
The gospel is he came to redeem us from sin. And that is the message forever I'll yell.
Down.
If you're living your best life now, you're headed for hell.
Talk to him.
Joel Osteen.
False teacher.
Let him know.
Preble Dollar is a false teacher.
Well to well.
Benny Hinn is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to him.
T.D. Jakes is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Joyce Meyer is a false teacher.
Let them know.
Paula White is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead ya.
Keep going.
Fred Price is a false teacher.
Tell the truth.
Kenneth Copeland is a false teacher.
Who else, who else?
Robert Tilton is a false teacher.
I know they're popular, but don't let them deceive ya.
Talk to them.
Eddie Long is a false teacher.
Let them know.
Juanita Bynum is a false teacher.
Who else, who else?
Paul Crouch is a false teacher.
Use your discernment, let the Bible lead.
But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago, it's not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. 2 Peter 2, 1-3.
That was Shylin again, singing the song called False Teachers. And if you want to know more about Shylin, check them out on lampmode.com, lampmode.com, and his name is spelled S-H-A-I, then L-I-N-N-E. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, here on Trippy Toll Radio, and I'm going to play one of my favorites by Shylin called Penelope Judd here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, cause all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince It's a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog. He'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, okay, the dove had arrived. He said, off we go with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away. Your turn. That he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way. But then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay. And ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king. I'm on my way. And all the old things going to pass away. Your turn.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The palace was spotless. She knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
a voice inside the party said,
you can let her in.
The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Would you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
don't laid aside my crown. There came a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
You turn.
Long
you turn.
Ago, laid aside his crown. They came a mud kid, traveled to our town. They kicked him out, didn't want him around. But those who love him get to share his crown.
Yo, it's so strange. So many folks claim they're born again when their lives are showing no change. Listen while I'm spitting. If you go about your sin without conviction, you should doubt your Christian. The devil tricks people that they're saved when they're sleeping in their graves. Though to evil, they're a slave. So examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you just a slave to sin's glamour and wealth? Cause you seek finer things and seem fond of sin. But please read 1 John 3, 9 and 10. Cause it's a warning, dog. It shows if you're a fraud and that this is
impossible if you've been born a god. To live habitually sinful, at least hear it from Christ if you don't want to listen to Brindle. Please understand this, Jesus demands it. Those who really love him will keep his commandments. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven. It's a description of the Christian who is forgiven by trusting in the risen Christ who took our wrath and affliction. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven, but it's a description of the Christian who is forgiven. And the Spirit now convicts them to put off and kill their sick sin. I'ma make this as basic as can be. Let's say a saved saint is like a tree. Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil, so they're saved for life and their fruit isn't foil. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off, but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. So Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession's litmus test. If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof, with absent proof, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth too, or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. Now repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who dents contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just cause we believe in eternal security don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Cause those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's his Spirit's rendering.
That was the song called Fruit Inspection, and as Timothy Rendell saying that, you could also find him on netmode.com. That's his record label. I am Wolf Cantrella, and you're seeing Truth Be Told Radio, and I'll play this for you next.
Little baby, you have kissed the face. would one day walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know? That you deliver will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know?
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 Oh, Mary.
Name of
That was the Ten Commandment Boogie by Go Fish. And before that, we also had Go Fish singing Mary, Did You Know? And let's see. What I'm going to do next is play another one from them. This song is a new one for me to play. It's called Fruit of the Spirit. Thanks for listening. Troopy Tory.
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come.
The curse from my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all died, and Adam all died. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lust, twisted and sin-sick, selfish and helpless, and Adam all died, and Adam all died.
Yeah.
Everybody knows that they're guilty. Our conscience condemns us, shows us we're filthy. Truth be told, we really have no answers for why we fall short of our own moral standards. The evidence for God is simply bountiful, and it's illogical to think we won't be held accountable. A universal day of judgment approaches. Any rational notion of justice will presuppose this. And deep down inside, everybody knows this, but we disregard it, cause our deeds are atrocious. We prefer the vicious, our words are malicious, our slurs pernicious. We find the absurd delicious, depraved in our appetites. The things we crave are lacking light, cause sin got us enslaved and shackled tight. And if we ought to understand the fruit, we need to go back and examine the root. Yo.
The curse for my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lust, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
The world we live in wasn't always like this. The early days had perfect righteousness and bright bliss. Man and woman under God ruled government at first, bubbling with mirth, immersed in loving with no hurts. God gave what theologians call the covenant of works, forbidden fruit. The day you eat of it, you'll be cursed. Husband wasn't alert. Wife lacked discernment, entrapped by the serpent, and that was the first sin. The consequences were monumental. In fact, I'm not convinced they had a clue of what they gotten into. Their eyes were open more, truth in the lies. To their surprise, they didn't get the prize they were hoping for. They see their nakedness and now regret it. They tried to cover their guilt and then blame shit. How pathetic. And it's a true story. You want some evidence? We've been doing the same thing ever since. Yo.
The curse for my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lust, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
We talk Adam and Eve, cats think we throw it off, really. They don't think it relates to thugs in North Philly, but it's like Switchfoot said, we were meant to live. But in the garden, Adam was our representative. So when the judge executed the sentence, Adam's guilt was imputed to his descendants. Global calamity, major debt, pain, regret, the reign of death, total depravity. And yes, I'm aware that cats were not there, which opens the door to charges of that's not fair. But God is not subject to fallen notions of fairness. Besides, when it comes to God's glory, most we care less. We can't measure how we chase sand treasures and band pleasures, similar to our ancestors. So instead of saying, if you were there, what you would do, seek your refuge in Adam number two, number two, number two, number two, number two, number two, number two.
The curse for my birth, sinning from the beginning, the womb to the tomb, the grave to the grave, astray every day, every breath brings death, and Adam all die, and Adam all die. We're rebels like the devil, scheming like demons, prideful with our idols, disgusting with our lust, twisted and sensitive, selfish and helpless, and Adam all die, and Adam all die.
The problem with the human race is not most deeply that everybody does various kinds of sins. Behind all of our depravity, behind all of our guilt, behind all of our personal sinning, there is this mysterious connection or union with Adam, our father, who sinned, and we being in him in some mysterious way also sinned and died and are condemned. What Christ has done for all who are in him is far greater than what Adam did for all who were in him. It's all about the superiority of the work of Christ for those who are in him over against what happened to all who were in Adam.
I, as a Baha'i, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I would say I have never believed in Jesus Christ as much as I have since I'm a Baha'i.
Oliver says he believes in Jesus Christ, yet he isn't a Christian. How can this be? The problem is that our friend Oliver has a different Jesus. He's not talking about the Jesus of the Bible. It's kind of like this. If a stranger approaches you and says they know your buddy John, but all their facts about John are wrong, you could safely conclude that they're referring to a different John. Now, with that in mind, there are many religions that claim they know and believe in Jesus. But that doesn't mean they're referring to the same Jesus of the Bible. For example, Mormonism believes that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Michael the Archangel. That's not in the Bible either. Muslims believe Jesus was just a prophet. That's definitely not what the Bible teaches. And Baha'i teaches Jesus was simply a messenger. Notice how none of these religions teach what the Bible says, that Jesus was God in human flesh. You see, the real Jesus sparked more controversy than any other religious leader in history. He made radical claims. He spoke not from, but with authority. And with that same authority, he forgave people of their sins. He healed without medicine. He fed thousands from one boy's lunch. And he calmed the raging sea. His claims? He claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father but through him. He claimed to be the bread of life, the light of the world, the good shepherd, the true vine, and the resurrection and the life. And he was ultimately crucified because he claimed to be God. He was able to conquer death by rising from the grave, just as he said he would. How is that? Because he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is God incarnate. So, if someone comes to you talking about Jesus, but he doesn't sound like he's talking about the Jesus of the Bible, probably because he isn't.
With all of my heart, with all of my heart. In the whole realm of human experience, perhaps the worst form of emotional pain is the pain of loneliness, whether it be the loneliness of desertion, the loneliness of persecution, or even the loneliness of being misunderstood. In each of the following three scenarios, the individuals involved can certainly relate. At this very moment, he's never felt so alone in his life. The only thing he can say that he owns is a knife. Oh, and a pipe. He's trapped in a prison, sadly a victim of his own bad decisions. He's finishing up a 10-year bid for foul things that he did when he was still a kid. The good news, he'll be out in less than a week. The bad news, he'll be out in less than a week. It's tough because this news is known by the ruggedest crews. They doing life and ain't got nothing to lose, and they already plotting. In fact, his man stopped him to chat and let him know he should be watching his back. And though his external appearance is rougher than Brillo, on most nights his cries are muffled by his pillow, because his eyes have seen unspeakable atrocities from suicide to suicide. But yo, peep the dichotomy. He wants to get out, but in a way he doesn't, because he's not really sure if he can make the adjustment. Plus he's young and black and can't escape from the fact that most of the stats say he'll be coming back. He feels like he might as well rot. He's shell-shocked by hell's plot to keep him in jail, locked in a cell block. The stress is weighing on his mind so heavy, he cries out, Jesus, if you're real, I'm ready.
of God not honored, the holiness of God not reverenced, the greatness of God not admired, the power of God not praised, the truth of God not sought, the wisdom of God not esteemed, the beauty of God not treasured, the goodness of God not savored, the faithfulness of God not trusted, the commandments of God not obeyed, the justice of God not respected, the wrath of God not feared, the grace of God not cherished, the presence of God not prized, the person of God not loved. That is sin.
Come in. God's wrath is coming. coming on the clouds, see the crowds running. God's wrath is coming, God's wrath is coming. Behold the Lamb in his might, and his sight is stunning. God's wrath is coming, God's wrath is coming. All the wicked will be punished at the final judgment. God's wrath is coming, God's wrath is coming. He's gonna vindicate his name at the second coming.
Thank you.
Guitar Boy 70, as in 70, from YouTube, singing the song called Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrilla, your host on Truth Be Told Radio. What I'm going to do for you next is play a song by Go Fish, this is called The Bible Book Bop.
Crazy ass song, a song today, Jeremiah, do the
that was by Look Up. And next, got another one from Go Fish. It's called This Is My Father's World.
This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres.
This is My Father's World, and that is Go Fish singing it here on Truth Be Told Radio. And have you ever wondered, are you a good person? Well, listen to this.
Meet Mr. Nice Guy. You think you're nice? This guy is really nice.
Well, I try to do what's right.
He's so nice that if good people get to heaven, he'll be the first in line.
Ah, shucks.
So, Mr. Nice Guy, have you kept the Ten Commandments?
Pretty much.
Do you mind if we take a look at them and maybe see how nice you really are?
Okay.
Great. Here's one. You shall not lie. Mr. Nice Guy, have you ever told a lie?
Well, yeah. Who hasn't?
What do you call somebody who tells lies?
A liar.
All right. How about another commandment? You shall not steal. Have you ever stolen anything, even once?
Nope.
But you just told me you're a liar.
Well, I did steal some candy once when I was a kid.
And what do you call someone who steals?
A thief.
All right, let's try another one. You shall not commit adultery.
Oh, that's easy. I'd never cheat on my wife.
Hi, handsome.
Oh, baby!
Jesus said, if you even look at a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart.
Oh, right.
One more. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Have you ever used God's name to curse?
Oh, my!
That, Mr. Nice Guy, is called blasphemy. God gave you life and breath and everything you have, and you've dragged his name through the dirt. So, by your own admission, you're a liar, a thief, a blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. And that's just four of the Ten Commandments.
Okay, so I'm not perfect.
Well, actually, it's worse than that. Suppose we could put a chip in your brain that would record all your private thoughts for an entire week, and then play those thoughts on a giant movie screen for all your friends and family to see.
That would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I know. The Bible says God knows everything, even the secret thoughts of your heart.
Well, compared to some people, I'm a saint.
Yeah, that's true. But the standard is God's law, not other people. Besides, even if you sin just five times a day, in 1 year, that's 1,825 sins. And if you live to be 70 years old, you'll have broken God's law over 127,000 times. You'll have to answer for every sin on Judgment Day, when the Bible says each of us will give an account of himself to God.
God will forgive me, right?
Well, let's try that in court.
Hey, look, I know I keep breaking the law, but hey, catch up, well, you know, just let it slide.
Only a corrupt judge would buy that. A good judge would say,
justice demands that you pay for your crimes.
God's not a corrupt judge. He's a holy, righteous judge. He hates sin. Jesus warned that on Judgment Day, everyone who had sinned against God would justly end up in a terrible place called hell. And there will be no escape for all eternity.
Well, then, how can anybody get to heaven?
There's only one way. God loved the world so much that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life. He never sinned, not even once. Then, Jesus offered to take the punishment for guilty sinners. He was whipped and beaten, and nailed to a cross, and died so that justice would be served, and sinners could go free. Then, Jesus rose from the grave and defeated death. You can't earn eternal life. It's God's gift to everyone who will humble themselves and come to Jesus. He'll forgive you, wash you clean, and give you a new heart with new desires. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So stop living for yourself. Turn from your sins and come to Jesus. Then, read your Bible, find a good church to help you grow, and then go out and tell other people the good news.
Each week, we send out a free ministry update, and it contains a short video clip. Ray finds colorful characters, he witnesses to them, and then I chalk talk the clip. Here's some samples.
Do you believe in God?
Of course.
I believe God actually learns through us.
There's a heaven right here.
Multiple times a day, God hugs me.
What planet are you living on?
I have no problem standing before the Lord as I am.
After seeing new clips each week and understanding the biblical principles behind them, you will end up saying, I could do that. There's no charge for the update. Just go here and sign up here, and we'll send it to you every week.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son.
Also, while you're there, check out the School of Biblical Evangelism.
The School of Biblical Evangelism is a full-blown online evangelism course. It'll help you overcome your fears. It'll help give you the answers to the 100 most commonly asked questions and objections to the Christian faith.
you want to find out more about that, go to livingwaters.com, livingwaters, LIVINGWATERS.com. Thanks for listening to me, Liz Cantrell, on Truth Be Told Radio. We're almost ready to go, but got time for another song for Sandy out. So here is Shylin singing As the Hour Draws Near. And then after that, if we have time, we'll play that one, the Christmas with capital C. Here on Truth Be Told. Right, Truth Be Told Radio. Sorry, I said it wrong. Thanks for listening.
Our next selection finds us moving through the corridors of a local hospital. As we enter into room 168, we encounter Mr. Smith, who is moments away from death. Let's listen in on his inner monologue.
Yeah. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the strugglers who died, and I'm in fear of what awaits me. Who knew that I'd be shook up as I look up to the heavens and see it's near with IVs hooked up like secrets? It was nice to be kept by Christ. Now every night's a deep sweat from a life of regrets that feel it's gone. Was faith real? Not fake like silicone? Fretting like it's okay like Little John was spilling songs. My will was drawn to this common facade. Lord, now I repent for each debt in your armor of God. Knowing this is your name that we defraud. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. My heart, I can't mask from you. Don't want to be a part of your massacre. Please don't stop my cardiovascular. I hope I rep C-H-R-I-S-T. In sport of them so good, I could win an SP like Wayne Gretzky. Lord, put my heart at ease, please, before I decrease my BP. And they saying clear, I need CC. I think I'm losing them because I'm bruised from sin within. And don't think I'll see your new Jerusalem. You're just, Lord, I need to be assured. I'm unsure and insecure that within abounds your grace is much more. I need to get confidence, believe in your promises of Jesus' accomplishments. Not help from the drugstore, cause mostly my reputation was count the world as defecation. Yet I proceed with trepidation. Sin was strong and my deadliest foe. Steady wrong, am I ready to go? I pray to God cause it's hard to accept. My heart's heavy, you know. I'm not sure if I'm ready to go. Although you had promised I would live again, for believing in Jesus I'm forgiven. Yet I'm shivering from hidden sin, cause in the back of my mind I knew I struggled as my pastime. Now I'm scared to flatline.
Next, we move down the hall to the cancer wing, room 197, the room of Mr. Jones. His situation is very similar to Mr. Smith's. Let's listen in.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all my brothers who died, and I'm prepared for what awaits me. Life was quick, but these last breaths seem the longest. I'm on the brink of entering everything that you promised. My heart skips thinking of what I'll be in the moment. This joy is undeniably precious fruit of atonement. I cry tears of happiness, cause looking back I see the track that you sovereignly mapped for me. I see immaculate. The cross of Christ is awesome price, and your grace that carried me. I persevered in shadows of brothers who walked the path for me. In just a few breaths, I walk into a marriage feast and taste of your goodness without getting a cavity. Your majesty will light up the city that we'll inhabit, and the Lamb will be the lamp in the middle. There'll be no PM. I tremble at the fact that I'll be captured by the blazing glory of the one that I've been waiting to see. And I'll see him. Yeah. To see his face and worship perpetually won't be boring, cause his flesh won't be a hitch anymore. I'll be restored to the morning after morning. And cause you bled death, I'll leave here on his hospital bed and step into the presence of the bridegroom in heaven.
No more valleys to try to track through. 11 to fight against, all things will be made new. No struggling to pray, we'll sing of your glory with angels. I'm eager to go, I know I'm a part of your kingdom. Upon Christ's seeds, I'll see bliss when the beat comes. My life was long and I'm ready to go. I stood strong and I'm ready to go. Can't wait to sing along with this song up in heaven, you know. It's where I belong, I'm ready to go. My feet are worn down hard for running this marathon in the trenches. Was far from pretending, pressed on with repentance. So now it's time for me to pass the baton, and at long last I'll pass on into heaven.
Finally, as we leave Mr. Jones's room, we travel upstairs to room 235, where we encounter Mr. Michaels, also moments away from death. Let's hear what's going on in his mind.
As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me on the other side. As the hour draws near to take my last breath, I'm not quite sure how much time I have left. I'm walking the path of all the others who died, and I don't care what awaits me. Yo. In a hospital bed, blood clots in my head, body chock full of meds, and I got to be fed through a tube. I'm comatose, wet food, aromas gross, pursue lewd moods as a refuge, overdose, frantic seizure, life empty, scary, demanded leisure, anesthesia, temporary amnesia. I'm found in this predicament, surrounded by significant others. My mother is crowded and I'm listening. I hear a person's voice that I don't recognize, praying for me. It must be a reverend in his lies, nurse checking in my eyes, ain't getting no replies. If she knew I heard everything, I bet you'd be surprised. My family's upsetting me with cries. What they crying for? If I could speak, I'd ask the reverend what he lying for. He said something about believing in the Lord. That's ridiculous. We all know that Jesus was a fraud. Atheism is logical. Blind faith is comical. Seven-day creation and Satan are mythological. The Bible's full of statements made by men who were shaken, too scared to face the end. The reverend said, don't be hostile to the gospel. Choose it. The only gospel I like is gospel music. He said if I understood him, take my finger and wiggle one. But if I could have, I would have gave him the middle one. Because he's wrong and I'm ready to go. Son, I'm strong, yo, I'm ready to go. If it's on, then it's on, bring it on. I'm ready to go, let's get it on. Son, I'm ready to go. I'm anticipating, hitting the essence. I'll crash through the gate in minutes or seconds. His antics are fake, so I'm dissing the reverend. My last action shaking, my fist at the heavens. Shaking my fist at the heavens, my lifetime pastime, but now no more natural light shines, flatline. Just as I was dissing his name, I'm hit with the flame as my soul left my physical frame. Frightened, my senses heightened, defenseless against this relentless lightning. A stampede of thunderclaps, I can't breathe, it's like I'm running laps with my lung collapse. I can't leave, I'm fucking trapped. Meanwhile, I am no longer seen now. The life I lived in the body, that feels like the dream now. And I've awakened to a real life nightmare. It's quite clear, no use putting up a fight here. My destiny is sealed. A true catastrophe with future agonies that have yet to be revealed. And that thought alone is such a blow to me, it's terrible. Cause what I'm feeling right now is totally unbearable. I'm disembodied, met my worst fear, mentally. Every second like a year, every year a century. No one that I can call. I'm crushed under a wall of holy fury, amazed by the justice of it all. Getting what I deserve, in fact my soul is burning black. I cross over the threshold, never to be saved. Eternal is the furnace and it ain't no turning back. Oh God, just let me send my fam a letter from the grave.
Having lunged fist first into a fixed state of horror and agony, Mr. Michaels attempts to gather his bearings. As he scrambles to find a way to warn his family, little does he know that, as sincere as he may be, the following efforts are sadly in vain.
Oh God, oh God, I'm in agony right now. I'm in agony in this fire. Please. My parents, my sisters, my cousins, my nieces,
friends, co-workers, everybody needs to read this. You're probably thinking I'm in heaven smiling down upon you, but it's not true. I'm writing this now to warn you. I'm serious, wish I could put a gun to your face. Whatever it takes to make you listen, don't come to this place. I made tons of mistakes when I was there with y'all, certainly. The worst by far was not preparing for eternity. It's crazy. I don't even know how to tell y'all, but I'm in hell, y'all. And I know it's upsetting to hear, it's upsetting to be here, but I write so you get it and see clear. I don't have all the answers, I broke for more, but there are a couple of things that I know for sure. Reincarnation is a lie, there's no such thing as Satan lie. Getting to heaven through meditation, that's a lie. Yo, it's vital we build, homicidal I feel, your pride will be killed. The God of the Bible is real, y'all know. I ain't read the Bible a day in my life, but he's the one who's inflicting all my pain and my strife. So get a Bible and read it, whatever you read, believe it. After believe in, eat it, sleep it, and breathe it. There's much more to this man Jesus. Observe the story, and I can tell you that there's no such thing as purgatory. What I wouldn't give to have your opportunity. I see my pride is ruining me. Ignoring God is lunacy. There's no comfort, all shame, no peace. There's no slumber, all pain, it don't cease. So don't be lax when attack with distractions. The fashions and attractions had me relaxing. Now I'm awake for the first time ever. But from the goodness of God's works, I'm severed. Regretting all the tracks that I threw in the trash, regretting moving fast in pursuit of the cash, regretting spending all my life trusting myself, regretting not reading the Bible up on my shelf, regretting all the stuff in life that had me caught up, regretting switching the subject when Christ was brought up, regretting not going to church when my friends invited me, regretting...
I remember when people used to say things like Merry Christmas to each other. Everybody said Merry Christmas. Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Lowenstein. You know why? Because it wasn't about a religion. It was about something of the culture we thought was so valuable that we'd all do it together, even if I disagreed with the religion behind it, because it was good for all of us instead of just me. But what do people say now? Happy holidays. See, I just say happy holidays because I don't want to say Christmas because you don't believe in Christmas, because I don't want to offend you.
It's called Christmas.
Shop to get myself a mocha. The lady at the counter said, happy holidays. I said, thanks lady, I am pretty happy, but there's only one holiday that makes me feel that way. And it's called Christmas, what more can I say? It's about the birth of Christ, and you can't take that away. You can call it something else, but that's not what it'll be. It's called Christmas with the capital C. God's got a law, and we pretty much destroyed it. We're gonna get judged, there's no way to avoid it. But Jesus came down to take the punishment for me. He did it for you too, so now maybe you can see why it's called Christmas.
Oh yes, we want to say happy holidays because we don't want to leave anybody out, really. How come there's a ton of holidays in February? Nobody ever says happy holidays in February, do they? They say what it is, happy Valentine. Oh, you believe in love?
It's called Christmas.
Come on. Nobody wants to say Christmas, everything else but Christmas. Why? I know why, you do too. It's because it's got Christ in it, and after 2,000 years, he's still intimidating people. You see, when a religious person says, I'm the way, people don't want to hear it. They don't.
Come on. It's called Christmas.
I say you gotta say Merry Christmas, because it is. If you don't believe in it, fine, but I have a flash for you. Christianity happens to be the religious heritage of my country, whether you like it or not.
It's called Christmas.
So if you're not a Christian, or you don't like it, and you don't want Christmas celebrated, God bless you. But let me tell you something. If you think you're going to stop me from saying it because it offends you, hey, I got a flash for you. Put a helmet on!
It's my country too.
It's called Christmas. What more can I say? It's about the birth of Christ, and you can't take that away. You can call it something else, but that's not what it'll be. It's called Christmas with a capital C. With a capital C.
Thanks for listening to Truth Be Told Radio. We're going to go out as we came in with the B-I-B-L-E. And probably next week we're going to play more Christmas music, because that'll probably be our Christmas show, because it's closest to Christmas without going over. So thanks for listening. Hope you will listen next time, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Pacific time. We're on Sundays, of course. And check out the site out, truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com. I'm your host, Melissa Canchola. You could find out more about me at our website, and also my personal website is smilesandstuff.com, smilesandstuff.com. And like I said, going out with the VIVLE by Go Fish. Bye for now.
The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. The B-I-B-L-E, that's